So tonight we're going to be in John chapter number 4, John 4, 19 through 24, and I want to talk a little bit about real worship, Not everything that's called worship is real worship. There are a lot of different ideas and different beliefs about what worship is. And there is true worship or real worship, and there is false worship. And I want to make sure that we understand the difference and that we take what relevant on a cultural realm and make sure that we understand that as well. So I want to share, first of all, tonight, before we read the text, a quote from Victoria Osteen, who I do a lot of, I read a lot of blogs, a lot of Christian blogs, and a lot of Christian tweets, whatever they are. And this has sort of been blown up on these blogs and things, what she said. And many of you have already heard it and told me about it and shared it with other people. And so many people are appalled by what she said. And so I want to further examine that tonight. Because people on a national scene are seen by many who know no better to be representatives of Christianity. And so we have to be careful. So here's what she said. I want you to see it. And I'll read it. She said, "When we obey God, we're not doing it for God. We're doing it for ourselves. Because God takes pleasure when we're happy. That's the thing that brings Him the greatest joy this morning. Do good for your own self. Do good because God wants you to be happy. When you come to church, when you worship Him, you're not doing it for God, really. You're doing it for yourself. Because that's what makes God happy." Now, verse 19 of John chapter 4. The context is the woman at the well that Jesus has gone out of his way to meet an appointment with her. "The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, A woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither be in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what. We know what we worship. Salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your blessings on us. Thank you for allowing us to come together the middle part of the week and to come and to be encouraged and strengthened by not only your word, but by your saints. And we thank you for that privilege. Thank you for that honor. Thank you for allowing us to open your word tonight and to read it. Help us to correct errors humbly. Help us to see truth clearly. And we pray that all things would glorify and magnify you. God, help us in a culture in which we are turning everything back to ourselves when we should be exalting and glorifying everything about you. So help us tonight to do that and to always do that here at Lakeview. I pray and I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I have to hurry tonight because Bob's Hero is having a speech tonight at 9, and I know he wants to get there and hear that, so I'm going to try to hurry tonight so he doesn't miss a minute of that. We have to define worship. What is worship? If we don't define that correctly, then we make mistakes. If I let people define that, I'm in trouble. If I let Victoria Osteen define worship for me, I'm in trouble. If I let anyone define worship for me, I'm in trouble. If I let culture define worship for me, I'm in trouble. What has to define worship is God. And God is not silent on the subject of how He wants us to worship and what worship is. The Bible is full of instructions and guidelines on how God requires us to come into His presence and worship. So here's a quick definition of worship. Worship means to bow down or bow low to the ground, and to bow before someone who is respected and revered. So in the Bible, you will find that Moses bowed down and worshiped. Joshua fell down on his face and worshiped. New Testament Revelation, the 24 elders bowed down and worshiped. Worship is, in its very element, a bowing down, a humbling of ourselves. I think it's this: it's dust getting where dust belongs. On its face, on the ground, taking its lowest place in the presence of an Almighty God. It is not us coming in front of God and exalting ourselves, but it is us taking a low place of humility before God, knowing we are nothing in His presence. Many a preacher has said that all of our life is a life of worship. I don't think that's true. I think all of our life is a life lived of service. I think all of our life is lived for the glory of God. But when we start saying our life is a life of worship, we confuse what worship truly is. There is a special meaning to worship. And in the Bible, worship is primarily a community experience. There is private worship, to be sure, but worship is primarily to be done in community that will then lead to private worship. Now, of course, you understand that us simply getting together, us simply coming under one roof, does not mean that we worship God. A crowd gathered in a place does not necessarily mean that worship happens. We can gather, we can pray, we can read the Word, we can sing, we can preach, we can testify, and yet we can fail to truly worship God. The purpose of our prayers, the purpose of the reading of the Word of God, the purpose of the singing, the purpose of the testifying and the preaching is to lead us to worship God. And how can we worship God if we're always praying about ourselves? How can we worship God if we're always singing about ourselves? How can we worship God if we're always preaching about ourselves? If the prayers and the singing and the preaching have failed to lead us to a bowing down before God in humility, those things have failed to do what they're supposed to be doing. Worship is bowing down before God, being concerned about God. Apart from what He does, apart from the blessings we have received, it's bowing down before Him, falling down before Him. It is adoring Him just because He is God. Now, As I said, Moses fell down, Joshua fell down. The Bible is full of those who fell down and worshiped God. If you'll notice your little bulletin, the evolution of worship, it began with a person humbling himself down to the ground before God. And we have evolved, apparently, to the place that we now are standing and exalting ourselves and calling it worship. There are three things tonight that I want to quickly share with you. I know my time is very, very short, and I've got a lot to say, so I've just got to touch a couple of these things and get to where I need to get. The statement that Victoria Osteen makes, I don't want us simply to gasp and to move on without letting that statement cause us to begin to think. Because it was a statement made by those who claim to be Christians and those who have very large influence in Christianity, or what they call Christianity. So I want to think about what she said and cause us to think. So number one, the statement that she makes, I think, should expose for us the depth of human depravity. Now listen to me. If you will be honest, what she said was a very fleshly statement. It wasn't a spiritual statement at all. It was a very fleshly statement. It was a statement that will, in no doubt, appeal to the flesh. And this is the thing. It appeals to my flesh. And if you were honest, it appeals to your flesh. Doesn't appeal to the spirit, but it does appeal to the flesh. Because I'm going to guarantee you something. Every one of us in here wants to be happy. Amen? So let me just share something real quick with you, and I got to go. The flesh always desires pleasure. It always desires to be fulfilled of its lust and its pleasure. So when someone is representing Christianity or the church and says, listen, God wants you to be happy. God wants you to partake of pleasure. The flesh says, yes. Because the flesh wants pleasure. And the flesh desires praise. The flesh wants to be praised. And that's typically what happens, right? We exalt man. We lift up man. We highlight man. And the flesh likes that. And my flesh likes that. And your flesh likes that. And praise God, the only reason why we're not in that is because of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. But when you have that being said openly, and then 45,000 people in attendance saying, yes, that's right, it is exposing for us the depths of human depravity. Men are seekers of pleasure and of praise. Number two, the statement should not only expose the depth of depravity, but the statement should cause us to evaluate the motive of why we worship. I've got to flesh this out for you. Now, I'm going to burst some bubbles here, okay? The primary object of Christianity is not to make you happy. But it is to bring to us a knowledge of God and to enable us to worship God. To know Him and to worship Him are the goals, not our happiness. To worship in spirit and in truth means that worship is controlled by the Spirit and depends on the truth of the Word of God. You do understand that the Word of God gives us specific instructions and guidelines that are to govern our worship. If you want to know how God wants us to worship, go to the Word of God. Amen? So worship has to be founded on truth and yet has to be controlled by the Spirit. And when I say it's controlled by the Spirit, I mean this. It's not controlled by our preconceived ideas or traditions. I'm talking about traditions that have absolutely no foundation in Scripture. And I'm telling you today, Baptist churches, not Osteen churches, Baptist churches are worshiping not based on Scripture, but based upon unscriptural traditions. Our worship is the way that it is because we've always done it that way. Or we worship that way because everybody else does it that way. And so either we've always done it that way, or Baptist churches here have always done it that way, so we do it that way. And it doesn't matter if it's founded in Scripture or not, because here's what really matters. Tradition will elevate itself over Scripture, and Scripture will have to bow to our traditions. And then, if that's true, worship becomes mechanical, methodical motions. We call it worship. It's the way we've always worshiped. That's the way every church around here worships. But it ain't really worship. What should govern? What should control our worship? The Spirit, not our traditions. Not our preconceived ideas. Even if your mama and daddy and granddaddy and grandmama did do it. Amen? The second thing, and here we're going to spend a little bit of time tonight. The second thing is, because I want us to think about this. The second thing is, not only should the Spirit control us and not our preconceived ideas, but the Spirit should control our worship and not our preferences. Now here's the question I want us to think about. You got your thinking caps on? Was Victoria Osteen really that far off when we examine our churches? Now she said it. She articulated it. She was very honest. That's what they believe and that's what they preach. And then all these Baptists hear that and they're going, oh. And I'm thinking, was she that far off from describing a typical Baptist church? Now, we wouldn't say it that way. We wouldn't articulate and verbalize it that way. But how about how we act? Let me try to explain. When we divide our worship according to the type of music we like, so that I have a bluegrass country service because I like bluegrass and country, I have a contemporary service because I like contemporary. I have a traditional service because I like traditional. And we divide worship up according to what type of music we like. Is that not worshiping because that makes us happy? Thinking here. Thinking. Because those people aren't going to worship with a music they don't like. Isn't that God wants you to be happy? Isn't that worship grounded in my preference? Whatever. I've said this a lot of times. Somebody told me if you change the music here, a bunch of people are going to leave. And I'm thinking, are you telling me that I can't? Because music is no big deal to me. But I can't suffer through a song that I don't like because my brother enjoys that? Are you telling me I can't suffer because somebody else may like that particular type of music in certain boundaries? Amen? So if I say, if the music there changes, I'm gone, I'm worshiping according to my happiness. Somebody help me. I'm thinking now. Maybe you don't want to think about this, but I'm thinking. If we have early services and later services so that we may accommodate people's schedules on Sunday, isn't that me worshiping what makes me happy? Or, if we have churches that are filled with people just like us, biker churches, cowboy churches, fat people churches, First Fat Baptist Church. Right? I'm the pastor of that church. I'm going to be the pastor of that church. We don't count heads, we weigh them. Amen? If we divide up and just have churches just like us, and here's what somebody told me one time. Those people can't come to your church because they don't feel comfortable coming to your church because of what they wear. So they want to be around people like them. Is that not us worshiping so that we will be happy? What about when we miss a service because we have something else planned? Something's more important than worshiping. Isn't that doing what makes us happy? What about when we slip out of service early or we come in late because we have other things that are more important than worshiping God? Isn't that us doing what makes us happy? What about when the church does not have social events? Had a family leave here because we did not have a camping club. Isn't that worshiping to make you happy? Or the Sunday school classes don't have enough outings? What about when your job at school comes to an end? You quit church. Isn't that worshiping according to making you happy? What about when someone says someone cross to you or does something hurtful to you and you leave church? Isn't that about what makes you happy? God is not looking for worshipers according to their traditions and their preferences. He is looking for those who are worshiping according to spirit and truth. And if you really think about it, Victoria Osteen is describing the Baptist Church of 2014. Because if everything just doesn't go right and everything just doesn't go according to their thoughts and their schedule, they're out. Are they not coming and worshiping according to what makes them happy? And when they're not happy anymore, they're gone. I don't think she's that far off. She's wrong, but I don't think she's that far off. We just do it. We ain't got the guts to say it like she did. The question is, what are we really concerned about? Feeling better about ourselves? Are coming into the presence of God. You see, the danger that confronts every single one of us, including me, is taking up religion and confusing it with true worship. It's taking my preferences and confusing that to be true worship. It's taking traditions and confusing that to be true worship and praise and adoration of God. It's not. Question is, have you examined your own worship? You know what he said to this woman? You don't even know what you worship. We worship here, the Samaritans worship here, you Jews say you worship there. Well, who's right? Jesus says you don't know what you worship. Apparently they were worshiping. Didn't have a clue. Going through motions. Why do you go to church? Why do you come to church? Do you come to offer worship or something else? Is isn't it a frightening thing to have to evaluate our motives in worship? Because most of what we do is because it makes us happy. People look for churches. What do they say? Well, I like the music. I like the programs. I like the building. When none of that really matters. How about the preaching? Was there the truth of God being expounded? And if the truth of God is being expounded, I can worship there. Because I'm to worship in spirit and in truth. If truth is being taught, I can worship there whether I like the music, don't like the music, whether I like the programs or not like the programs, whether I like how the deacons run the church or not, I don't care. If truth is being taught, I can worship there. Amen? Number three, got to hurry. Can I have, who's doing choir practice tonight? Who's doing it? You? Can I have just a couple minutes? Because I gotta get to end because that's when I. Number three. This statement of Victoria Osteen should not only cause us to expose the depth of depravity and evaluate our own motive in worship, but it should enlist our prayers for American Christianity. Now listen to me. I hope you understand what I'm getting ready to say. The most urgent need of the hour is not for evangelism. It's for a revival of the church. Our churches are filled with wrong ideas of worship and wrong ideas of God. She clearly articulated that. Our churches are full of people who are worshiping themselves. May we pray that God would awaken church in America. Amen? Because people come and I don't know why they're here for a million different reasons than to worship God. Prayer, we need to pray for the church's thoughtless nature. People come and they come to church and have no thought of what they're doing. Worship has to start by stopping. What do you mean? We have to start, before we start speaking, before we start worshiping, we've got to stop and think and reflect and realize what we are doing. We are coming into the presence of a holy God. We are worshiping God. I'm here to tell you something. Worship that is thoughtless is impossible. It doesn't happen. It must always be in truth. People worship with no other thought than their happiness aren't worshiping. Amen? If you come and worship yourself tonight, you ain't worshiping. Prayer for the church's thoughtless nature. Secondly, prayer for the church's therapeutic nature. That's what the church in 2014 in America primarily is. It's a therapeutic church trying to let you know how good, how wonderful, how awesome you are. The church is more interested in populating than it is purity. The church is consumed with giving people what they want so they keep coming back. So we're all about making sure people are happy. What makes them happy? If that makes them happy, let's do that. Let's help them feel good about themselves, and next Sunday they'll come back. So what did she say? Don't do right for God, do right for yourself. Isn't that what churches do? Let's do this so that we can make people happy so they'll come back and I can keep getting my paycheck. Somebody help me. Don't correct error. I hear this a lot. Don't correct any error. Don't correct any error. Someone might quit. Don't emphasize God too much. They won't come back. Victoria Osteen simply said what most people in America live. They live for their happiness, and if God will give it to them, then that will make them happy and God will be okay. But if I must bow down, and if he demands my sacrifice, well, that's not what I'm looking for. Amen. May we pray for church in America that God would revive this mess. When we worship, we are bowing down in the presence of God, humbling ourselves before God, for He is the sovereign Creator and Lord of the entire universe. He is the eternal and ever-living God. He is the all-wise, all-powerful, and ever-present God. How can our worship ever be ordinary if we truly understand and realize who we are worshiping? He is the inconceivable and incomprehensible source of everything that exists. He is the invisible majesty who reigns and rules on high. He is the one whom before Him is thousands and thousands of angels and archangels who stand before Him and never cease to give Him praise. He is the Lord who speaks, and hosts of angels are waiting to carry out His will. He is completely unique, truly glorious, incomprehensible, holy. There is no one like Him anywhere, at any time, ever. No one is like God. There is no measure to His magnificence. There is no end to His beauty. All of His works are amazing, good, and glorious. He has created you and I out of dust. The dust of the ground He has made us into His image. He has gone to prepare a place for us of eternal, lasting joy in His presence. And although we have rejected Him and treated Him as worthless and found no place for Him in our lives, He has still yet desired to have us and desired for us to be with Him. So He sent His Son to live and to die for us, and then sent the Holy Spirit to convince us and regenerate us. He has forgiven us of all of our sins through Jesus Christ. He's coming again to receive us to Himself. How can our worship be anything other than extraordinary? Because He is extraordinary. It is He who carries the world along by His power of His Word. It is He who will come someday in great power and great glory to judge the living and the dead. And it is He who will make all things new, a new heaven, a new earth, in which righteousness will reign undisturbed. There is no power in heaven. There is no power on earth. There is no power under the earth that can change His plan. He is perfect in wisdom. He is perfect in knowledge. He is perfect in power. And all dominion belongs to Him. Nothing occurs or has occurred or will occur that He has not ordained to be. Nothing in the universe can compare to Him. How can our worship be about us? When our praying is about Him, when our singing is about Him, when our preaching is about Him, when our desires are for Him, when our thoughts are on Him, when our lives are lived for Him, then our worship will be extraordinary. And it will be what God the Father is looking for. I'm afraid that God passes by church after church in America looking for worshipers who are worshiping in spirit and truth, and He has a very difficult time finding. And God doesn't take the closest thing. It will be what God has required, or God will not accept it. Amen? This is not play. He is the God of the universe. No, when we come to worship, we're worshiping Him. This is not about you being happy. This is about you glorifying God. It's you coming not to receive. It is you coming to give your worship to Him. Amen? Because there is only one being in the entire universe worthy of our worship. Him, not me. She's wrong, and I'm afraid in her error she has described most of church in America. May it not be true here. May it not be true with me. May it not be true with you. Amen? Because we do a lot of things evidenced because they either make us happy or they don't. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, bless the word to your people's hearts tonight. Help us to think upon these things, and may the Holy Spirit further shed light and convince us of truth. Oh, may we come with a desire and a prepared heart to give you worship, to humble ourselves in the lowest place before you, and glory in who you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.